Have you guys seen the movie Hook? It's a Peter Pan movie with Robin Williams. Dustin Hoffman was Captain Hook. I don't know, it came out somewhere in the 90s or early 2000s, and my sister and I used to like to quote it. There's this one part where Shmee, who is Captain Hook's first officer, he looks at Captain Hook and he goes, "Oh, I've just had an apostrophe." And Captain Hook says, "I think you mean an epiphany." He said, "Lightning has just struck my brain." Boy, that must hurt, right? Epiphany. When we think of the word epiphany, often that's what we think of, this idea of a sudden, oh, aha, kind of a moment, right? Suddenly where you have that light bulb that turns on over your head. The idea for us is that has happened with the whole world. And that's what we celebrate today, that God turned on the light for the whole world, and that light is able to shine now into the darkest corners of the world. We reviewed the three kings in our reading earlier, and we've talked about them before. These are called magi, right? Maybe we'll review some of it. It might be news to some people, right? The Bible doesn't say that there were three kings. That is later tradition that came above it. All we know is that there were a group called magi, likely some type of astronomer, maybe Zoroastrian from the east, from Persia. And they liked to look at the stars. Maybe they were astrologers in that way. Maybe there's a part of us that's like, I don't like that, you know, God used a star to bring them. But God met them where they're at. And I talked about this in Sunday school too. And I think this is the main point of Christmas and Epiphany. God meets people where they are at, with what they know. And from there, he moves them on to the next thing. And so he provided a star in the sky that these people who were not followers of Yahweh looked up and they said, there is a special king who is being born to be king of the Jews, and we need to go and worship him. We need to bring these three gifts, which I don't know, in the hymns you might have recognized certain things, right? Gold is a good gift for a king, right? Frankincense, oh, that's what they offer in their prayers to God. Why are we giving this to this baby? And myrrh, which is often used as a burial spice, foreshadowing the death that Christ would have. I just love that image that God sent a star and they knew what it meant and they followed it the whole way. Even more than that, God himself became flesh. That's the point of Christmas. God himself, the creator of everything, made himself nothing. I don't know if you guys looked at it. That's what we were going to talk about last week. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Did we happen to read that one or no? Yeah? Okay. Let me read it again. This is one that we could probably do well to read regularly. Let that same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God meets us where we're at. In this case, we needed to be met with somebody who looked like us, with somebody who suffered like us. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is our King. Jesus Christ is on the throne. We Gentiles, 2,000 years after this unlikely Jewish boy who had claim to the throne of David was born in an occupied country, lived his life, he still sits on the throne of our hearts and on the thrones of hearts around this world. And this world is better because of it. People around the world have more love. They have seen his love. I'm not saying there's no darkness in the world. I'm not saying there aren't things that look bad. There are way more people in the world now than there were in Jesus' day. So think about how much more evil that means. So if the evil looks more, think a little bit about that for a second. But I'm here to tell you, Christ brought light, and it still shines. Our passage for today is found in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul, of course, it's his job to shine this light to the Gentiles. He recognizes that, and he has gone out, he's arrived at Ephesus. He arrived there in Acts 16 or 19, I don't remember exactly, right around there, which was a big center for the worship of Greek and Roman gods, in particular Artemis was the deity there. You remember that story where Paul was turning the world upside down, and the silversmiths didn't like that they were losing business because people didn't want to buy their little idols anymore. There got to be a big to-do over it. But there's still a church in Ephesus, and Paul is writing this to them. And he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets." There's a mystery that has been there all along, and now it is being made known. "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." That ought to be good news to us. Now, I recognize it's probably old news to us, and so maybe it isn't fresh in our minds as, we now are able to partake, we are now able to share in this blessing that the people of Israel had. But in remembrance, it is important for us to recognize that this is a pivotal moment in history. Because prior to this, that way was essentially closed to the broader world. "Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, for which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Paul, of course, is looking back to creation, looking back to the beginning, when all of creation and all of humanity, God looked at and said, this is all good. He created people and he said, that's very good. And through the ages, through the years, after humanity went their own way, God never gave up. Don't know if you could hear my stomach right there. I was just making noises. Can never tell when sometimes this microphone seems extra sensitive. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. What's he talking about there? It's important, brothers and sisters, for all of us to recognize that this light is now available to everyone. And it is also part of our job to spread it to everyone. Christ Jesus, who in John, I think it was John 8, said, I am the light of the world. All right, let me get it and read it. Let's read a few things here. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. To those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who follow him as he has asked, we have that light burning brightly within us. And Jesus didn't simply leave it at that. He has told us what to do with it. In Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world. So who's the light of the world? Both. We're the body of Christ. And it is through us that this light comes. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Not that they might praise you, but that they might praise God for who he is. And so we see that in, back to Ephesians, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. It's interesting. We know that we shine our light so that people can see our good deeds and that people might see the light of God. But Paul's also talking about the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. It makes me wonder exactly what's going on behind the scenes on the other side of the veil here. What what this moment of Christ coming and the proclamation of the gospel still means even beyond the veil. I imagine there are some in the heavenly realms, on the devil's side, who are being put on notice with this proclamation. And I imagine that there are angels all around that are rejoicing with it. And I imagine there is more going on that we just don't know about. But I know this. God's light is shining, and God has invited you and me to shine that light too. How are we going to do that? That's a question I want us to dwell on this week. How do I shine my light? How can I make it shine all the brighter? Is my lampstand high enough? Do I have a lampstand? Have I built a bushel for myself to cover my light? And how do I get it off? Let's pray. Holy God, who sent a star to the east to introduce yourself to the world, shine your light. Lord Jesus, light in the world, light of the world, expel the darkness. Equip, strengthen, fill your people, that you who are alive within us might shine forth brighter each day. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways that we have dimmed your light. Without you, we walk in darkness. Give us the grace that we need. Give us the courage that we need. Give us the strength, the energy, the gumption that we need. To light up every corner of this world. In your name we pray. Amen.